Today we're going to talk about yet another one of the colors of Christmas. We've already talked about purple and white and red, and today the color is blue. And you may be surprised to learn that blue has been historically related to Christmas for centuries. And here is how. The longest night of the calendar year is called the winter solstice. It occurs on December 21 or 22 each year, so yesterday was the winter solstice this year. And there are many, many people who become depressed during the winter months as daylight diminishes. It is a real phenomenon. Just ask Judy Hooks. If she were here today, she would tell you that she was diagnosed by doctors with what is called seasonal affective disorder. You can remember that by its anonym, SAD. How appropriate is that, huh? And the common popular name for this disorder is blue Christmas. Seriously. There are actually Christian denominations all over the world who hold worship services on winter solstice, just a few days before Christmas, which would have been last night in many churches. And this isn't a joke. They observe Holy Communion together, and then they mourn with those who mourn and try to help them get through their blue Christmas. In 1948, Israel became recognized, modern Israel became recognized as a country. And that same year, two songwriters, Billy Hayes and Joy Johnson, made the term very famous. In 1957, a notable theologian made it even more famous. His name was Elvis Presley. I have a blue Christmas without you. I'll spare you. I won't sing anymore. I'll just read the words. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, and when those blue memories start calling, you'll be doing all right in your Christmas of white. But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. Christmas and depression, they seem to go together in a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And sometimes it's because things at Christmas time just don't go the way they are supposed to go. And it can be depressing. Well, just think, for instance, about Joseph and Mary arriving in Bethlehem looking for a place to sleep. No room in the inn. How depressing. One year, the children of a church put on a Christmas play that included that story of the inn in Bethlehem. And there was one little boy in the play who wanted so much to be cast in the role of Joseph. But instead, his chief rival was cast in that role. And he was depressed because he was cast in the small role of the innkeeper. He was really bitter and he was really angry. And so during the play's rehearsals, he began to devise a plot on how he was going to get even with his rival. Finally, the night of the play came, and Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage, and they knocked on the door that represented the inn, and the innkeeper opened the door, and he asked them gruffly, "What do you want?" And little Joseph said, "We would like to have a room, please." And suddenly, the innkeeper threw the door wide open and he said, "Great, Come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house. Shock. That was not in the script. And for a few seconds, little Joseph did not know what to do. But he had an idea. He came up close to the innkeeper and he looked over his shoulder and he made a big point of looking right and left. And then he said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in this dump. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." Sometimes things don't go as you expect at Christmas. I heard about another group, the Ridgeway Elementary School of Dodgeville, Wisconsin. In 2005, they presented their musical program, which they had to call Winter Program. Jesus was not allowed to be mentioned in the program. But one of the strangest things that they did, this is true, they sang Silent Night. But it was only the melody of Silent Night. They sang different words. And these are the words they sang. Cold in the night, no one in sight. Winter winds whirl and bite. How I wish I were happy and warm, safe with my family out of this storm. How depressing. Isn't that cheerful? They took Jesus out and put hopelessness in. An empty manger leads to a depressing life. Yes, blue Christmas and depression, or the blues at Christmas, are both very real. But as you can imagine, that is not what I had in mind when I said that one of the symbolic colors of Christmas is blue. If you have been here during this Advent season, and if you stayed awake, you know that we talked about four of the colors of Christmas, that I mentioned them earlier, and you know their origin. Here's a quick review. God told Moses to make some special curtains in the tabernacle of white linen decorated with purple, red, and blue yarn. Now, those four colors are significant and symbolic, and they were used symbolically in other ways. And we have discussed that, and today we conclude by looking at the color blue, not just at Christmas, but throughout God's Word. The color blue is primarily symbolic of heaven and healing. Heaven is the ultimate healing. There was only one person who always wore blue, and that was the high priest. You can read about that in Exodus 28 and in other places. His blue robe was a very distinguishing characteristic of the high priest when he would go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, the curtain of white and purple and blue and red. And he would go into the Holy of Holies and pray for forgiveness. He was symbolically covered by heaven and all that heaven represents. This is Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. That is the babe of Bethlehem we're talking about, brothers and sisters. He was and he is the great high priest. He came from the Holy of Holies to usher you into the Holy of Holies, heaven itself. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is painted in blue. But I want to look at some other biblical references of blue, all of them in the Old Testament. Before I do, I'm going to interrupt this message to say, welcome. So glad to have you. Tell us who you are. Please stand up. Your first name is Emmanuel. Yes. And tell us how you, what brought you here. We're so blessed to have you here. Thank you for coming. Yeah, you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's look at some other biblical references to blue. All in the Old Testament. This is in Exodus. Before God gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, we are told that Moses and Aaron and 70 of the elders went up to the top of Mount Sinai to worship God. And when they got there, they saw a vision of God. Now listen carefully to this description. It's found in Exodus 24, beginning in verse 9. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. A sapphire is a gorgeous blue gemstone, and it is mentioned in the Bible 7 times. In Exodus, it adorned the breastplate of decision of the high priest, blue. In Ezekiel, he had a vision of the throne of God made out of sapphire, blue. And in Revelation, it was part of the foundation of the new Jerusalem that came down from heaven. In the book of Numbers, there are several exciting references to blue, and I love this one. In Numbers 4, it's talking about those persons who were in charge of caring for the objects of worship that were in the tabernacle when it came time to move the camp and break down the tabernacle and carefully get all of these articles ready for transportation. I'm beginning Numbers 4, verse 5. When the camp is to move, Aaron and his sons are to go in and take down the shielding curtain and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. Then they are to cover this with hides of sea cows and spread a cloth of solid blue over that and put the poles in place. And over the table of presence, they are to spread a blue cloth and put it on the plates and the dishes and the bowls and the jars and the drink offerings. Now I'm skipping to verse 11. Over the gold altar, they are to spread a blue cloth. They are to take all the articles used for ministering into the sanctuary and wrap them in blue cloth. In other words, everything that was used for worship was covered by the symbol of heaven itself. Blue. That's really exciting to me. But this is more exciting. Numbers 15, God gave these instructions. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments, with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at so that you will remember all the commands of the Lord that you may obey them." And now I'm reading from Luke 8, beginning in verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. The edge of Jesus' cloak would have had a blue cord on each tassel. She was touching the symbolic color of healing and heaven, which is the ultimate healing. I mentioned earlier that all the examples of blue came from the Old Testament. In fact, the color blue is not mentioned in the New Testament. However, heaven is a prominent theme throughout the New Testament. And John painted the picture of heaven gloriously throughout his gospel. John painted the gospel story in blue. Listen to John 1:14 again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a hymn that we sing about Jesus on the cross. It could almost be a Christmas carol. The title of the hymn is, Heaven Came Down. Here are a few of the words. Heaven came down and glory fill my soul. Heaven came to the level of man. That's what Christmas is all about. Here are some more words in that hymn. It says later, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. You know what? That phrase refers to you and me. But it could also refer to Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, with life from above, blue. And that is why we are celebrating his incarnation. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. Now, John continued to paint the blue of heaven and healing when he described the baptism of Jesus Christ. John 1:32, I saw the Spirit come from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And then in his classic chapter on salvation, the third chapter of John, you know John 3:16, it says this, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And those words came from the lips of the Son of God, Jesus himself. And one more from John 6, beginning in verse 32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Let's pause right there and remind ourselves that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and the name Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, was born in the house of bread. The symbolisms in God's words are astounding. They're wonderful when you dig into them. Continuing in John 6, 34, Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. John clearly painted his picture in blue. A beautiful glimpse of heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus, our King, purple, shed his blood on the cross, red, to bring us forgiveness. White, so that we could go to heaven, blue. Hallelujah! Jesus is the curtain through which you must go in order to come into the living presence of the Almighty God. Jesus is the sapphire, clear as the sky itself. Jesus is the foundation of the New Jerusalem coming from heaven. Jesus is the covering of everything that is holy. Is he yours? Are you his? So, come to the manger. Touch the hem of his garment and join with the people around the world who sing this song. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever. And love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, depression is of the devil, and joy is of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we are all subject to the devil, and we have all yielded to your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will increase our joy in Jesus Christ. Restore to us the joy of our salvation in Jesus Christ as we once again welcome your incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. We pray in his name. Amen.